John is what language?
Greek.
No, it's, he, well, it's
Koine.
It is also Greek, but it's from a Hebrew origin, isn't it? And it is what? Same as Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah. What does Jonah mean?
Dove.
Dove. Okay, now what does Mark mean? That's a Latin word. Which means?
Dried out.
Dried out. Okay. Now.
So dove jerky.
Dried out dove. A starved to death dove, okay? Now, what was the earliest gospel written?
Mark.
Mark, okay? And it's written through whose eyes?
Peter's
eyes. All right. Now, John Mark was a Judaizer, wasn't he?
Yes.
He uses a lot of Aramaic terms, which the Jews spoke Aramaic in their time and not Hebrew. Very few Hebrew families spoke Hebrew, did they? Why? You remember why they did not speak Hebrew? Sharon.
Well, it had been centuries since it had been used.
Why didn't they not speak it, though? Why did they not? Many of the families did not speak Hebrew.
Is it because
Hebrew language. Maryland. I got to drag this out of somebody.
Is it when they were in slave?
They were in the captivity, Babylonian captivity, and they quit using it. They started speaking. They were speaking Persian and also a Greek, Koine Greek, later on. Why? Remember? Because they thought the language was a holy language, and they were afraid to use it. Like a holy language, a language too holy to use, and what we call vernacular.
So that's like an extension of you don't say God's name.
That's right.
You don't even use the language.
Yes.
They kind of tended to.
Yes. You don't use God's name.
But that would take a long time for a generation to get to that point. So
that's right. We had generations.
Yeah, like who?
We had generations. This was when they went into Babylon. All right, they went into Babylon. And that's when it all began. That's when they got their idea of creation all upside down. That God created a chaos. He did not. And they translated the Septuagint to say that. And that wasn't correct. Because that's not what God did. The Hebrew did not say that. It does not say that today. Now we're talking about the Gospel of Mark. And we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. We're looking at... I'm going to get this one over here too. Mark. Mark, the 7th chapter, starting with verse number 30. Jesus has been doing some miracles and absolutely flabbergasting people because of his great powers, his supernatural powers. The last message was supernatural powers. So now, in verse number 30, 7 and verse number...
7 and 30.
Yeah, 7 and 30. Where we are. Now let's read this in Greek. Then we'll come back and we'll look at that in different translations also. The Amplified Bible, one, and then several others. I have a book here called 26 Translations, and it takes them, whatever they say, and it puts it in here and combines it, which I used this morning in 2 Corinthians, which I like to do that. It gives you a well-rounded view of everybody's idea of what it says. Now, we know what the Greek says, but then we can get the different interpretations of it. The Greek is the inspired word. All right. It starts off how, Marilyn?
Kai.
Apelthusen. Ace. Tone. Oikon. Altes. Urain. Now that hurrain there, it starts with a rough breather, doesn't it? So you got a hurrain, hurrain. You breathe out, hurrain. That rough breather like that, that means to breathe out. It turns it into a H, hurrain. To, pideon. Bablimenon. Epi. Tain. Klinain. Kai. To. Daimonion. Ex. El. Le. Lithos. And having gone from. Look at that word. Apo and Erkamai actually is what it comes from. Having gone from unto the house of her. Now this is a lady that comes to Jesus. And well, let's go back and read it for just a moment. This is beautiful here. And Jesus rose and went away from there to a region of Tyre and Sidon. And he went into a house. By the way, Sidon is not in the original language.
Oh, really?
It was put in later. King James and whatever. If you look at it in your translations, it'll be in parenthesis or something. And actually, from the region of Tyre, Tyros, and he went into a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. But it was not possible for him to be hidden from the public notice. Instead, at once a woman whose little daughter was under control of an unclean demonic spirit. Of course, we know that. And that's a fallen spirit, isn't it? There are spirits that minister, spirits that guide us, spirits that comfort our mind and our hearts, and there are spirits that confuse and destroy and mangle people's lives and persons, demon spirits. An unclean spirit heard about him and came and flung herself down at his feet, an absolute act of obedience, and she looked upon him as the King Messiah of Israel and as a great prophet of God, even God. Now the woman was a Greek, a Gentile in religion, a Syrophoenician. Syrophoenician means that she was from Syria. By race, and she kept begging him to drive the demon out of her little daughter. And she kept on doing it, on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And he went and said to her, first let the children be fed. Now he insults her. See what she's going to do. You ever insult somebody to see what they're going to do? How their reaction is? That's what Jesus did. Children be fed, for it is not becoming or proper or right to take the children's bread and throw it to the cur dogs. And she answered him and said, yes, Lord, oh Lord, yes, what you say is true. What you say is true. I am a Gentile. I am a dog. I'm a dog. She admits I'm a dog. But she answered, yes, Lord, yet even the small puppies under the master's table eat of the little children's scraps of food that fall on the floor. And he said to her, because of this saying, you may go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter permanently. And she went home and found the child thrown on the couch, and the demon departed. Now let's go on. And having gone from her into the house of her, she found the child having been laid upon. The word clinain there comes, what English word comes from that, Sharon?
Recline.
Huh?
Recline.
Well, recline also, but what else?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Clinic.
Yeah. Clinic. That's where people lay in bed, sick. Clinic. Clinain. The couch, the bed, and the demon having gone forth out of her. Accusative singular neuter. Perfect participle active. The demon left by the command of the Son of God. Now, 731. Let's go back and look and see what it says here in some of these translations of verse number 30. And she was come to her house, and she went home. And when she returned home, she found out the devil had gone out, and she found it was so that the demon had gone. And her daughter laid upon the bed, and the daughter was resting on her bed. That's what the different translations say. The daughter is resting upon her bed. She's there. She's free from all of this demonic supernatural powers that were totally destroying her life, that were absolutely destroying her life. How would you like to be set free from that? Been under demon possession. We know there was a man in the tombs that how many demons were in him?
A legion.
Legion, 2,000. 2,000 demons were in him. And what did he do to himself? Did he go on and fix his hair up real nice and got nice clothes
himself,
and everything?
Slashing.
He was slashing himself. He was dashing himself on rocks, literally destroying his body. But the demons made him so powerful that nobody could even put handcuffs or chains or anything on him. He'd break them all. Like Samson did. Mm-hmm. Now, Samson, I like to see Samson. I'm looking forward to seeing a little old skinny guy, about 5 foot tall. And the power of God coming upon him and whipping all these people. He wasn't this great, big, muscular guy, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. I believe that he was a small, diminutive person, like Paul the Apostle, that had the power of God that came upon him. Because it was so easy for them to arrest him, finally, when the power of God had gone from him. He wasn't strong. If he had been strong, he could have whipped them all anyway. If he'd have been the big muscular guy like they have in the movies. 731. Marilyn.
Kai.
All right, next word. Kai. Pauline. XL Thone.
Oh, XL Thone.
Sharon. XL Thone, and then what's the next word? Ek. Ek, all right. And then what's the next one there?
Is it Tove?
Tone.
Tone.
And then Horion. Horion. Do you see the rough breather above that? So that turned that O into an H-O. Horion. And Tyru. Eltane. Dia Sidonas. Ace. Tane. Thalasson. Tase. Galileas, Anna Meson, Ton, Horion, Decapolis. All right, let's look at this now. And again, look at this. Now, this is aorist participle active, nominative singular masculine, having gone forth or having left out of the region. The Horion, that means the district or the region of Tyre. He came through Sidon. Sidon. All right? A heavily populated area in that period of time. Sidon is a very, very... We have Tyre and Sidon. Remember before, Sidon wasn't really there. But now it mentions Sidon. He goes into the region of Sidon. A very heavily populated people unto the sea of the Galilee. What does Galilee mean, Sharon? Circle. All right. Up in the middle of the regions. See that word? This is regions. Horion. Regions. Districts of Decapolis. Decapolis. What's Decapolis mean? Remember what Decapolis means? Okay. Polis means city. What is it? Ten cities, unto the ten cities of Decapolis. Decapolis is a place with ten cities. I have been there. And guess what this area was? This is the area that when the Lord healed the Gadarene demoniac, he told him to go there and be a missionary. One of the first missionaries sent out permanently, okay, was this Gadarene demoniac. And guess what? We find out later on in Decapolis was some of the greatest, strongest churches in the early 2 or 3 centuries. Isn't that something? The Gadarene demoniac. Let's see what this says here now. If it comments very much on this verse number 31.
Now, is it the number 10 or the metal 10?
No. T-E-N. 10. 10 cities. Deca. Decapolis. 10 cities.
Decade.
Yeah, Deca. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And again, he set out from the borders of Tyre and Sidon and came through Sidon. On his journey from Tyre, the Tyrian territory he went by the way of Sidon. And he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis.
So that's basically the east.
He went through Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, if you got the Sea of Galilee,
yeah,
he'd be more the east.
Yeah, he's got 10 cities over there, and there's quite a few cities around the Sea of Galilee, and about 15,000 people in each city. All right, now that didn't say too much.
Different?
Soon after Jesus, coming back from the region of Tyre, passed through Sidon, on to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of Decapolis, the 10 cities. Now, by the way, Decapolis is a very heavily populated place. The Roman road runs through Decapolis. The Roman road. The Roman road began all over back into that area and ran all the way to Rome. And it was a well-paved highway. You can see to this day in those cities. You have been there, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Have you been there? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the chariot marks in the city, in the streets, where they ran the chariots?
Not there.
Okay.
It didn't Pompeii.
Okay. You can see where chariot marks were down the cities. You can see graffiti on the what we call the Corinthian pillars all along there. And this is where Jesus was, where all of these are the cities, the 10 very famous populous cities. So he goes through there on the way to the Sea of Galilee.
They're mostly Gentile cities, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're Roman.
Jewish.
They're Roman. Gentile. And they have Greek culture. They're speaking Greek, but under Roman rule, all right? All right, Marilyn, 732, yeah.
Kai.
Pharusin.
Alto.
Kophon. Kai.
Moikilalon.
Kai.
Parakalusin.
Alto. Hina. Epithe. Alto, Tain Kara. And any objection to that? Nope, no objection. And or also, they bore. See, that word comes from Pharaoh. That means to bear. They brought and they bore to him a deaf person, a deaf person. What is a deaf person? Somebody that can't hear, like me. Very weak hearing, deaf. But this guy was totally deaf. And speaking with great difficulty, tongue-tied, speaking with very, very great difficulty. He could not speak. We get the word from Glossia here. He could hardly speak. Do you remember, Sharon, when I had that arsenic poisoning and that I could not speak sometimes in the class? I just stopped and I could not start speaking.
Yeah.
I could not start speaking. Well, this guy had a whole lot of problem with that. That was from strokes and from this poisoning that I had in my system that I didn't even know what was going on with me, that arsenic and mercury. It would just stop me. Do you remember that? Were you there when that?
I remember the tail end of it.
Yeah. You got in on the tail end of that. All right. It was rough. I could not. I would be gone and I could not speak. And my students would just patiently wait till I could start talking again. They're great. That's all I can say. Speaking with great difficulty. And they continually begged him. In order that he might lay upon him the hand. A single hand. Just put a hand on him. That's power. Epitithemy. That's where it comes from. Epitithemy. That he might. Look at that. Third person singular. Second aorist. Subjunctive active. What does the subjunctive mean there, Sharon?
That he would do it for himself.
Subjunctive.
Yeah.
That is, he may or may not do it.
Yeah.
He may or may not do it. When it comes to salvation, you may or may not come. Marilyn, when we were on the way home today, you asked me, when a person is convicted of sin, does that come from the person or come from God? And I said, it comes from God. When a person surrenders to God, where does that come from? That comes from the person, from your heart, all right? God draws you and you surrender. That's all you have to do. Remember this morning, now you weren't there this morning, and I think I may have said this in class before, Chris, but I want to say it again, because these are three different classes I taught today. The tabernacle, as you see down here, typified Jesus, number one. We have any objection to that? Number two, it typifies the church in the church age. Now, that's the church age that we're living right here in today. But over yonder, right at the end of the church age, all the saved and the church are taken up, raptured, and they go into New Jerusalem. And that New Jerusalem is a type of the Lord reigning in glory, and it also is a type of the church in glory. Now, what did you learn today about that, Marilyn? About this building that was built by Solomon.
I don't think I heard that.
Sharon, what did you learn about that?
Oh, well, when they built it, they had to take, because it was built of stone.
Yes.
They didn't build it there.
No.
They built it far away, so when they dressed the stones, there could be no sound of hammer, no sound of saw, no sound of anything. The stones were dressed, fit, and then taken back.
They were assembled. Done away from where the temple was going to be, sometimes many miles away. The stones were built and squared up. They put them together and looked and made them all fit together perfectly. Then they took it all down and they took it to Jerusalem. And it says, in Jerusalem, I don't want to hear the sound of one hammer. Not one. No saw, no mallets, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be fitted together because it typified something. What did it typify? Salvation by grace. There is nothing we do to be saved. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Jesus did it all. So that's what that temple represents, because it was built away. In the church age, what do we do to get saved?
Accept Christ.
Just accept Christ, that's all. Accept His gift. Surrender. Surrender. Open our hearts to Him. Surrender to Him. That is all. Because He does the calling. For in grace ye are having been saved. By grace. In grace ye are having been saved. You're immersed in grace. Are we or are we not? Yes. Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. We're saved through faith. And where does the faith come from?
God.
That didn't come from us either. Much of your charismatic ministry always says we can be healed of anything that we have a problem with it. But you just have to have faith. So it puts it on us if we're not healed.
The faith becomes a work.
The faith is work. Okay. The faith is not a work. It is a gift. If we're not healed, whose fault is it?
It's God's choice.
God's choice. Nothing to do with us. You know anybody that's sick wants to stay that way?
Only if they're really nuts.
Yeah, well, if they're really crazy. All right, 732. Let's look at that in the Amplified now. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had difficulty in speaking. And they begged Jesus. They kept on begging Jesus to place his hand upon him. So they had great confidence that he could just touch this man and he would be healed. Nothing. No illness, no demonic influence, no powers could possibly overcome our Lord and Savior. Do you see at the top of the 736 or 733, do you see when I taught that in CMBI?
Mm-hmm.
January 26, 1976. A long time ago. How many years ago? Mathematician.
Well, it'll be
41. 41 years ago. I taught this at CMBI. Kai.
Hi.
Apolabomenos. Auton. Apotuoklon. Kat idion. Ebalen. Tus. Doc. Tilus. Autu. Ace. Ta. Ota. Autu. Kai. Tos. Now this is a PT sound. Tisos. 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 You spit when you say that, don't you?
Yes.
That's how it comes. Spitting. Hepsato. Look at the rough breather. So you have an H. Hepsato. Tes Galilei. Lases. Autu. I think that's the end of that verse. Yes, it is. Sometimes I have a B on the... And having taken away for themselves... Look at that, middle voice. Having taken away for themselves him from the crowd. All right? Having taken away him from the crowd. To Oklo. How many people are here, Marilyn? Uklo.
Say that again.
How many people are in this Uklo?
That's 5 to 10,000.
5 to 10,000 or so people. Now we got a lot of people. We got the number. Out of the crowd of 5 or 10,000, according to one's own. Privately, in other words. According to one's own. He cast, literally. That comes from Balo. He put the fingers of him into the ears of him. Put these fingers in his ears. Like this. Okay? Now you put your fingers in your ears and you're hearing just about what I hear sometimes. Especially when I go up and down that mountain. My ears stop up. Put his fingers unto the ears of him. And having spit, he touched the tongue of him. Now having spit, tisos, he spit, he touched the tongue of him. The tongue there, glossos, is the instrument of speech. You cut a person's tongue out, and they're going to have a really rough time communicating. And some people talk like their tongue is cut out, don't they? Because sometimes they have speech impediments. Now, this guy did, as we know. He had a speech impediment. All right.
Now, why did Jesus stick his fingers in there, spit on the ground, and touch the tongue? I mean, I know it was for hearing and speech, but what was the point of spitting on the ground?
He spit on his finger and put it in his mouth.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I thought he had his fingers in his ears.
Well, he did. He put his fingers in his ears. Then
he
spits and touches his tongue. Okay.
On the ground.
Well, remember one time he spit on the ground and made a paste and stuck it over these guys' eyes.
Okay.
What do you want to see? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why? Why did he do it? Do you think it might have been a parabolic teaching? A little bit of... showing them that I'm doing this for their benefit. Well, he could have spoken
but,
it.
But he pulled away privately, like it wasn't in front of the crowd. I mean, it was just.
But who's seeing this?
Well, the deaf guy, probably whoever.
And who else? The disciples there. He took them out of the great crowd, but the disciples are still here now. Okay? And they see him do this. The guy recorded it, didn't he?
Right.
Okay, the guy recorded it. Yes, it did.
In front of everyone.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it in front of the crowd. He did it probably.
Not in front of the big crowd. Because, boy, they would have really howled and screamed, wouldn't they? Everybody wants a sideshow.
Yeah.
a carnival. And basically, these were these people, there's a lot of people here following him for the sideshow. Mm-hmm. The carnival.
Well,
they're following.
Television.
No, they didn't have television. They didn't have radio. All right, so they're watching a sideshow. Mm-hmm. This is entertainment. Entertainment today. At this time. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he thrust his fingers into the man's ears and spit and touched his tongue. Touched his tongue. Okay? How should we start this, Sharon?
Kai.
Anna Blapsos. Ace to Uranon. Now, on that Uranon there, it's not Huronon, is it? Why?
Because
we have a smooth breather above the Epsilon. Uranon. Estenoxen. Kai. Legay. Alto. Ephatha. Ho. Esten. Actually, that word ho there should be ha. Because it's short. Ho would be... like a the, but this is not. This is a relative pronoun. Ha, esten, dia noixathete. And having looked up unto the heaven, what heaven?
The third.
It doesn't say heavens, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven.
Into God's abode?
Yep, the abode of God, the heaven where God the Father was at that time and the Holy Spirit. Okay? He looks up into the heaven there, the heaven, ton aranon, into the third heaven is what we're talking about here. And he groaned, third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. Stenazo, it means to strain, it means to groan, to sigh. To sigh, to groan, to sigh, to strain. We've got a word like steroids from this, to the strength of groaning. You hear him sigh and groan inside, to groan and sigh inwardly. And he says, and continues to say to him, Ephatha. Now this is a Aramaic word, which means, you be opened thoroughly and completely. All right? It's a Syriac Aramaic word. Syriac Aramaic word. Now, Jesus spoke many languages. We know that he spoke Greek. We have Greek recorded. We have Aramaic recorded. And now we have this Syrian dialect recorded here. We know that he spoke the languages, and wherever he was, the writer of the Gospels tells us what he said. Eloi le lama sabachthani, Eli Eli lama sabachthani. Two different languages I just spoke. One was Aramaic and the other one was Hebrew. Eli Eli lama sabachthani, that's Hebrew. And Eloi Eloi lama sabachthani, that's Aramaic. And they're recorded in that languages, or in those languages. Which it is translated, you be opened up. You be opened up thoroughly and completely. Thoroughly opened up. Thoroughly and completely opened up. And looking up to heaven, it says here in the Amplified Bible, he sighed as he said, Ephatha, which means be opened. We're almost finished with this here chapter. We'll finish this evening. Kai, enoigeson. Alto, hey, akue. Kai, eluthe. Now, by the way, there's the word euthus in there that was probably put in later. It's in brackets. Do you see that there?
Yes.
Okay, it's not in the Nestle Island, or the Westcott and Hort, because it was added later in the later manuscripts. And here we have one one manuscript that is the oldest of all the manuscripts, so they can play with it a lot between here and there. Elithe. Ho. Now this is ho. Desmos. Tes glosses. Autu. Kai elale. Orthos. And they were opened of him the ears. Both of them. I can hear out of my left ear some. The right ear, Handy Star King, bit at me and cut my ear half in two here and hit my skull and cracked it all the way across. This loosened up the top of my head from the bottom. That's what you call a basal fracture, which usually is a death-dealing blow. Knocked me out. I was unconscious. I was had amnesia. And I was blind and deaf for a while when I woke up. Boy. Well, from that time on, I did not hear out of my right ear very little because it severed the optic nerve. The optic nerve. We're going to see that in here. The akue. That's optic nerve. Akue. And they were opened of him the ears. The akue. This we get a word acoustic from. Everything that has to do with sound, acoustics, comes from akouo in Greek, the verb, and akoue, the noun. And it was loosed, the bond of the tongue. The bond, the top bond of the tongue. His tongue was bound. He could not speak. He could not move his tongue around. He was tongue-tied. The bounds of the tongue of him. And he kept on speaking elalein. Now, elalein, it didn't say Lego, did it? Lego means what? That means to put things in order, line them up in a line, and to make your thoughts in a cohesive way to where people can understand you, which I don't do a lot. But anyway, this word here, laleo, comes from, what does it mean? Jesus spoke in human language. This means, elale, it means that he used his throat, his vocal cords. He used his tongue now. He used the top of his mouth, and he used his teeth, 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 teeth. Say teeth. Teeth, teeth. See, you put your tongue toward your teeth, either the roof of your mouth or whatever. But see, he's using all of the mechanics of human speech. How many of you ever heard a bird talk? A bird talk. Yeah. They all speak pretty plainly, but they're imitating. Okay? A dog barks. A dog growls. Can you growl? What is doing that? It's your vocal cords. Now, these are all of the, what we call faculties of speech. Now, this man's faculties of speech were totally healed. And then he went to a speech therapist, orthos. All right, we have an orthopedic surgeon. What does an orthopedic surgeon do? He sets things straight. Orthos means straight. And it's straightly here is a little adverb. Orthopedic surgery, corrective surgery. Now this man, the Lord does the surgery on him instantly. Zip, everything's fixed. He's speaking correctly. Now, all of these people, have you ever heard anybody that spoke with a, that stuttered or anything? I stuttered after I had the strokes. I did a lot of stuttering. It affected my ability, the motor ability. And I can even hear myself when I get up and start speaking. Many times in the very beginning, I stutter from that stroke or from those strokes. And that is the nerves and the mechanics of it. This man had no problem speaking from now on. He had no trouble speaking from now on. Look at that word. He kept on speaking. Third person, singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on speaking. He didn't talk. Boy, I'll tell you what. This guy hadn't spoken for a long, long time. I'll tell you what I did. Long in 1960, I got into ham radio. Well, I've always loved radios. I love to see tubes glow in the dark. And I love to look at the circuits, and I love to fix things. And I used to buy radios and fix them up better than the factory did, and I'd sell them. I'd fix them up for myself to begin with, and people would hear me talking and hear me hearing with that radio, and they'd come over and say, I have like $1,000 in it. I'll give you $1,500 for that radio. Right now, here's the money. $1,500 bills. And guess what I'd do? Give me the $1,500. And I'd go down to Ham Radio Outlet, down at Jim Rafferty, that was the president of it at that time. I'd go down there, and when I'd walk into that place, because I'd done this so many times, Jim Rafferty would see me, and he said, go pull out a complete FT-101 station. All of it. All of it. When I walked in the door, they knew I was going to buy a radio. A whole radio. All of the components. Take it home, do it again. And they'd hear me talking again, and they say, I'm going to come over there. Over from the coast, from Los Angeles, wherever they heard me. I want that radio. That radio here is better than anything I've ever seen in my life. You hear things, and you talk, and it will get through better than anything I've ever heard. So I'd sell another one. I'd sell another one. In the beginning, I'd put my driver's license number on there and my name on the back of the radio. But after about 15 radios, I quit doing that. I just gave up. I never got to keep one. Bought amplifiers the same way. I'd trick them all out and everything, and they'd buy them and buy them and buy them and buy them. Then I began to sell ham radios and repair ham radios. People say, make my radio do like that one. So I do things to it. Put amplifiers in the front end of it where it'll hear better. All kinds of little things. I fix them. I set them straight. But I never talked on the radio at all. Never talked on the radio to begin with at all. Not, they would hear me talking then, but when I got to talking on radio was CB radio. People would come to my house and I'd fix their CB radio. And I would do different things to them, put antennas on her, set the match on the antenna and everything, and they'd get out there, and I'd say, talk to me, you know, go out there and talk to me. And they'd call back, and they'd say, how's it sound? I said, okay. About it. Okay. And they started asking me questions, and then finally they started asking me different questions, and they started asking me questions about the Bible, and guess what that did? So then I started talking on ham radio. Where I began, right on ham radio. And that's how I ended up having the websites, because people heard me talking and talking about the Bible, so built a radio, the websites, discovertheword.com, and there I am out there all over the world. But in the beginning, for 10 years, I never said one word. You'd think I was tongue-tied. When I'd key up that microphone, I'd hold it there and look at it. I couldn't say a word. Couldn't say a word! Just shut up. Open it up. Because I was ashamed. I was throwing a signal out there. I do it again, trying to say something. I couldn't do it. And finally, the great big obstacle was saying, okay. Tongue-tied. That's what you call mic fright. I had it bad. But now you would never know that. No. Ham radio got me talking. I started talking.
Like in school?
I wouldn't say a word. I have a report card say, why doesn't your son talk? He doesn't say anything. He won't talk. Why won't he talk? Is something wrong? Take him to the doctor. Wouldn't talk. I was just, my stepfather called me a dumb Indian. Wouldn't say a word. Now, 7:36. Kai Diestolato, Altois, Hina Medene, Lagusan, Hoson. Look at that word Hoson now. What's that? The rough breather over there. And De Altois, Diestolato, Altoi, Malon, Perisateron, Ek. K. Russo. And he commanded to them. He commanded. That is third person singular, first aorist, indicative middle voice. He commanded for himself to them, deity plural, third person pronoun, autois, in order that not one, maidene, or udamia, is another term for that same thing. This is maidene. That not one person may say or tell, third person plural, present subjunctive, active. Look at that word, subjunctive there. That subjunctive, that means they did have a choice, didn't they? That one may say as much as. Moreover, to them, he continued to command. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative middle. He continued to command for himself, them, more greatly. Comparative now. We have a little adverb comparative there. So much the more. Exceedingly. Way above. That's a comparative too. Peraseteron. They kept on crying. Look at that. 7:36. And Jesus, in his own interest, admonished and ordered them sternly and expressly to tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more zealously they proclaimed it.
Why didn't he want them to say anything?
Well, I think it's the reverse psychology.
Or do you think it's because the crowd was so big?
You know what reverse psychology is?
Yeah, yeah.
What do? You tell somebody don't. When you want somebody to do something, you tell them not to do it. Don't you do that now. And they will do it. I had a lot of trouble with my youngest boy. And we have a double comparative in here, by the way. That emphasizes it. My youngest boy always tried to show the older boy that he was stronger than him. Gary, I'd have to go out there. Jimmy, I'd have to push him to work. Gary, I had to slow him down, squelch him. And the more I squelched him, the more he tried to do. He'd get out there and lift a log, weighed two times as much as him, to show me he did it and show his brother he could do it.
My boys are like that.
They tried to outdo each other. Well, they're strong, I'll tell you that much. Well, Gary would get out there and work. I'll never forget one time we were up cutting wood. And I was cutting a big tree up, and some of those rounds were big like this. Big, you know, about 3 foot, 4 foot across. And I cut them off at 22 inches. And I'd roll them down toward my truck, because we'd have to carry them all the way otherwise. Roll them down to our truck. We split them up with a maul and or a wood splitter later and put them in the truck, little by little, pieces by pieces. I'll never forget Gary. He run down, and here comes this log, and actually I sent it toward the back wheel dualies of that truck, which I knew was going to stop. It's not going to hurt the dualies of that truck. But Gary got right out in the front, was going to stop that thing, and it went right over him. He's going to show me he's stronger than that piece of wood coming down the mountain. He wasn't. I always had trouble with him doing that. Tell somebody not to do something, and sometimes they'll do it. And that just seems like Jesus, the more he told them not to, the more they did it. Whether that was his purpose or not, I do not know. But possibly it's reverse psychology. Chi. Hepa parasos. Ex ep ple sonta. Legontes. Kalos. Ponta. Pepoi ken. Chi. Tus. Kofus. Poye, Akuain, Kai, Alalus, Lalane. And super most exceedingly and abundantly. This is the triple compound now. All right, this is the triple emphasis. They kept on being struck out of their senses. They kept on being absolutely amazed. This is supernatural. Supernatural behavior here. This is not a doctor. This is not some Pharisee with powers. This is not a priest. This is not some scribe saying something over somebody and them getting better. This is supernatural powers. Now, during this period of time, all of these maladies were considered a curse of God. Mm-hmm. Somebody did something wrong someplace for this to happen. Jesus is reversing all of this thinking because it was wrong thinking. And they're amazed at what he's doing. Dead people are not dead anymore. Blind people are not blind anymore. People that can't speak, speak. People that can't hear, can hear. People that have been sick for 20 and 30 years, people that have been paralyzed for decades, now jump up and walk. Boy. People that have been paralyzed for decades. I remember down in Punkin Center, around the tire companies and some of those little businesses, there was a guy that I believe Bobby was his name, maybe, that used to go around there in a motorized wheelchair. He had been paralyzed in a car wreck. Now, I don't see him anymore, so I'm sure he's dead now. But what if Jesus had come by and said, Bobby, and he jumped up and started walking around? Everybody in Punkin Center would have been saying, who is that guy? What's going on here? That guy lived like that for years, since he was a young man.
I remember seeing him.
You remember seeing him? Mm-hmm. Lee Kustra. You know who Lee is? Mm-hmm. Lee Kustra, one time, his family, Kustra Dairies, they were very wealthy. And his brother was driving a car, and they had all of them in the car. And they were racing at over 100 miles an hour down Union Avenue and lost control and hit one of those big eucalyptus trees. One boy, I believe, was instantly killed. One of them was paralyzed for life. And Lee, I believe, was unconscious for maybe over a year.
Wow.
Now, it's just like Jesus could walk by there and says, zip. I had the car on display for years. It was just crushed. And you can see still this day, I believe, where that car hit that eucalyptus tree. Jesus could reverse everything. Mm-hmm. Could reverse it all. They were struck out of their senses, saying, nominee singular, masculine, present participle, active. Look at this, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, passive. They were struck out of their senses. And I said, well, all things he has done. Both, now here we have a cumulative particle, chi is not conjunction here, it's a cumulative particle. Both are, yes, the deaf ones, he makes to hear, and the dumb, allelus, to speak. We have quite an example here, don't we? Now, these things settled who Jesus was, I do believe, don't you? You know that I preached a sermon, I think you were there, and I know you were there, when I talked about the extra-biblical, historical evidence outside of the Bible of the birth, the miraculous ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's all over world history. It's out there, all over. It's not just the Bible. It's more out there than there is in the Bible. And I quoted all these sources. And there was a judge down in Orange County that listened to me on the radio. And he listens to the website, and he listened to that sermon. And he's a Superior Court judge, okay? Chris is his first name. Anyway, he gets on the radio, and he tells me one night, he said, I listened to that sermon that you did. And he said, you know, I'm very critical because I'm a judge. Very critical. He said, as you would give this evidence and read in history, I would go and look it up. And there it was, just exactly as you were reading it. He said, you won the case. You won the case. Hands down, you won the case. Well, Jesus actually won the case. We have it in the Bible. We have it history backup. It's good when you have a history backup. I tell a lot of stories down in Maryland on the radio. I tell stories out there and people come and listen to me in the evening like they're listening to Jeopardy or the Wheel of Fortune, something. They want me to be there. And if I'm not there, they send me emails. If I'm not there, they call me on the telephone and things. And then when I get out there, if I don't say anything, if I'm really busy working on the website, they say, Jim, NJ. NJ means Nevada Jim. NJ, you haven't told a story lately. You haven't told a story lately. When I was raising Dakota, I would take my Indian book, that Introduction to Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, and I'd read these stories to Dakota. And then when Marilyn and I were traveling all over the mountains when we first got married, I would rehearse those stories to her from memory. And, oh, I love that, I love that, I love that. I said, well, read the book. Like this. But Dakota, I'd go in there, and I'd tell her stories that things happened to me in my life. One story that she really liked of all stories was what, Marilyn? About my dog, Sooner. Sooner was a coon dog. He was a quarter black and tan and three quarters tree and walker. He was spotted like a Dalmatian-looking dog, kind of, sort of. And he had a real deep voice like a black and tan. And a guy gave him to me because his wife made him get rid of him because he barked. And he was only 6 months old. And she made him get rid of him. That dog was really good-blooded dog. I took him up in the woods. The first time I ever hunted with him was at Democrat Hot Springs. I had a friend of mine, Rex Davis, up there, and he had a coon dog they'd had for 5 or 6 years. I took my dog out there with him, and my dog just ran circles around him and treated a coon. He said, you, Jim Phillips, you are a liar. You did not. That dog was not given to you. That is a trained dog. Now, where did you get it? I said, well, a boy over there at that welding outfit came out there to Sutherland Refinery where I was working as a welder, and he asked me if I wanted a coon dog because I had a coon dog in a box in the back of my car, pickup. And he gave him to me. He said, you're lying. No way in this world the dog will go in the woods the first night and do what yours did. And every time we'd go, he'd impress him more, impress him more, impress him more. One time, I'd go up in the woods, and I was talking to my oldest boy just the other day when I was in Nevada, and I said, I have to start carrying tools back and forth in my car. He said, my dad used to go up in the woods and change the spark plugs in his car, put new points in it, replace something, whatever, put brakes on them, whatever, right up there in the middle of the woods. Fotios Kyriakopoulos, my guy I used to guide. I'd go up there and something break on the car, I'd get out there and fix it. He wanted me to go to Africa with him. To be a guide, hunting guide in Africa. And I said, I'm an Indian, not an African. You get somebody from Africa. He said, you protected me. I was never afraid with you, and you could fix anything. You were always there to do that. That's what Jimmy said the other day. Anyway, one night, I was by myself hunting in the woods. I'd been all weekend hunting in the woods by myself. But I had taken some tools up there, and my shifter fell off of the four-wheel drive shifter of my Jeep that I was driving, a Jeep pickup, 63 Jeep pickup. And it had come loose off of the bell housing. So I pulled up on, you know, I don't have a rack up there, so I pulled into this ditch to where the car was in the ditch. And I got up in the ditch, and got out there and started working on it. Well, Sooner was out there running, he'd go, start. He'd squeal. Well, I didn't know what he was after. I said, well, go get it, Sooner. He's squealing, going after this thing. Pretty soon, I smelled what it was. Not something that I wanted. He killed it, skunk. He came back. I was still underneath the car. He runs back in there all over the place, run down there and rubs himself all over me. I'm getting out and trying to get my clothes off. Says, get away from me, Sundar, get away. Like that. Then another time, we were up in the mountains, and we'd been chasing the bear. We had walked over 20 miles. Sawmill Road up there. Way up there, I was down in Glenville. We chased a bear from Glenville all the way up to that something Sawmill Road up there. I can't remember the name of it. It's about 20 miles we walked up there that night. Wore plumb out. We called the dogs back. I only had a .22 that wouldn't shoot. My dad, Dale Remling, had stolen my good one and took off with it. I had a Colt Woodsman. He took off with my Colt Woodsman. So now I'm up there with a .22 that won't shoot with a bear in a tree. That's not good. Now, I would take on a bear with a .22 any day, but one that shoots is more preferable. This one here was so rusty and everything, I'd always carried my own gun, but Fred Bass, he had this old high standard with a hammer on it, and it was so froze up with rust, it wouldn't shoot. I'd have to take it and click it 10 times to get it to shoot. And we got a coon, and we got a possum that night, and or two coons. And anyway, then we hit the bear, and we went up there, and we were just wore out and come on them down. Finally, Sooner caught up with us. And we were coming down this hill, and it was almost daylight. We'd walked all night long from about 5 o'clock the night before, and here it is about 6 o'clock in the morning. This is wintertime. And there's snow on the ground here and there. I'm going down here, and this skunk had walked in front of us all for over 2 miles, and he'd stand on his hind feet and just look between his legs at us. And I just stop. What are you going to do? Well, Sooner comes on down, and he goes over there. You know how dogs smell of the other one's hind end? He did that to the skunk. And the skunk turned loose on him and sprayed him all over, and that dog, and he's rubbing his head this way and that way on the ground. Boy, I mean, he's all over the place. I told Dakota this, and she just went crazy. And everybody tell me that story about Sooner, Dad. Well, anyway, I cocked that old pistol and spit in it. And that skunk stood on his hind legs, and I go, boom. And it shot. We were finished with that skunk. No more skunk problems than that night. You have any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Seven what? We started at 7:30?
30, yeah.
Through 37. Now, I've told that story on the radio many, many times, and they'll say, tell us about that dog.
Okay, so here in 7:25, it says, talking about the woman with her child, says, but yes. Immediately the woman whose little daughter. What? I know each word has a different age.
Yeah, the
bracket.
Little daughter, she had a very small girl.
So what's that age of this little daughter?
That comes the word pice. That means a school-age child. It's not, it's paideon or pice, which means the spanking child. One that correct, you know, 8, 10 years old, something like that. 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Another one will be napios, which means what? Napios means a speechless baby.
Oh, yeah.
And then braphos means a one in the womb or very early born, very infant. Okay? So this one is pice. This means this girl was probably 8 to 10 years old, 7 to 10 years old, something like that.
Now, I mean, I know that we, people that don't have Christ, are susceptible to demon possession. I understand that. But what in the world caused this little girl to be possessed by a demon?
Well, what happened to the man in the tombs? How long have they been
up? Did they open themselves up to that? Did their family?
Demons are territorial. There are areas where demons are. Demons are in areas. They are territorial. And sometimes people allow themselves to be demon-obsessed or are possessed. And sometimes they're born into it. These may have been born into it, but every one that Jesus healed, I guarantee you, they had it to show the future glory of God. They're recorded in the Bible, aren't they? This girl's recorded in the Bible. They knew who she was back then. And this was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Syrian woman. In Syria today, what do we have? ISIS. All this kind of problem. I was in Damascus, Syria. I stayed 9 days in Damascus, Syria, literally afraid for my life. These people are uncivilized. That's all I can say. But Islam is uncivilized, isn't it? Islam is an uncivilized religion. All right, anything else? Udhamia? Udhamia. All right, nothing else. Let's have a prayer. Sharon, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn your word and to learn your greatness and your glory, Lord, that you can, with literally your word, heal the child with your touch, open ears, have the tongue be able to speak, Lord. Thank you for